Agriculture plays a critical role in Australia's food security, but many farmers face mounting pressure to balance productivity, profitability, and emissions reduction. A new study, Tailoring Australian Carbon Farming, examined how practical, environmentally sustainable farming methods can ease financial strain. Researchers found broad, one-size-fits-all climate policies often fall short, with farmers needing approaches tailored to local conditions. Over 5 years, the project partnered with farmers nationwide to co-design strategies aimed at boosting productivity and biodiversity while cutting greenhouse gas emissions. The Wire's Sam Giorgio spoke with University of Tasmania researcher Matthew Harrison to hear more.
There has been a lot of other studies on carbon farming, on practices, how farms can reduce greenhouse gas emissions. The novelty of this work was that we not only looked at that, but we also quantified cost. We looked at the impacts on biodiversity, and we looked at the impacts on productivity, specifically beef and sheep production. And that's because farmers have to navigate these tensions and trade-offs all the time. So if you change one practice, you have trade-offs and co-benefits in the other dimensions. So really, we want to change a practice to reduce greenhouse gas emissions while also improving profit, because a farm is a business, to improve biodiversity habitat.
How does climate policy affect farmers who struggle to make a profit when adhering to them?
What we found was that effectively at current carbon prices, which is a spot price of about $38 per tonne, many of the carbon farming practices, and we looked at about 50 of them, were not profitable unless you get productivity co-benefits. So if you can change a practice and your productivity goes up, then it often was financially attractive. So when I say a productivity co-benefit, if you plant trees to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and it's a shelter belt and you reduce lamb mortality because of a cold coastline in Tasmania and it reduces wind chill of the lambs and more lambs survive, less of them die, and you have more lambs on the ground, that's a productivity benefit. When you can improve your productivity with an intervention designed to reduce emissions, that was financially attractive. Where you couldn't improve productivity or where productivity declined, then it was a cost. And we suggest, and the farmers that we engaged suggested, that if it's going to come at a cost, we wouldn't adopt it.
In this study, stacking complementary innovations would yield better results than isolated changes. Were there any other practices that this included?
Stacking complementary practices is a big one. Where you have multiple mitigation practices, multiple carbon farming practices, are aimed at a different avenue. For example, planting trees, good for sequestering carbon and can improve biodiversity, but does nothing for methane emissions. If you combine that with anogenic pastures, which some forage types actually reduce methane and enteric methane, such as lucerne and bird's foot tree foil and eremophila, shrubs and legumes actually have an anti-methanogenic effect. If you combine those two, you sequester carbon, improve biodiversity from the trees, and you can reduce enteric methane. So the more complementary practices that you can combine and bundle together, the more likely you are to reduce net farm emissions in a profitable and productive way while also improving biodiversity. That said, though, there is a trade-off between beneficial outcomes and complexity. So if you're wanting to combine multiple practices at once, it's more complex. You need more skills, you need more knowledge, you often need more labour. So one way to get around that is to do one practice in 1 year, and then the next practice the next year, and the next practice in the third year, and so on, until you've eventually stacked them all together. You're better off tailoring interventions to the specific farm. Every single farm, even two side by side next door, are different. So you're best tailoring your interventions to your specific production system. So when thinking about blanket policies are designed to apply everywhere and to every farm, by definition designed to fall over, because they're not accounting for the contextual details for that production system, the farm, the number of trees on farm, the soil type, and that kind of thing. So really, policymakers could, you know, if they could include this in their policies, some sort of specific contextualisation could be due to whether it's a beef farm or a sheep farm sort of thing, because that will generally have more benefit than a single blanket approach.
Matthew Harrison from the University of Tasmania there, speaking with The Wire's Sam Giorgio.